We are now very proud to have Jennifer Verjur here with us. Yesterday, it was fantastic because we could practice some Portuguese. She speaks fluent Portuguese as well. She is in Argentina. Jennifer is involved in many educational technology projects in Argentina and around the globe. So today, she's going to start talking about using mLearning, mobile learning to teach English. And she was kind of worried about, you know, talking about mLearning because, you know, many people know about it, but I think we just take it for granted that that's not true. mLearning is something really, really, you know, new for everybody. So I'm sure that we have a lot to learn with Jennifer Verjur. Jennifer, the floor is yours, and welcome to our Brasil Brazilian, Brasil Goiânia, together with Learning Together crowd.
Thank you, Carla, for this warm introduction. Can you all listen to me? Okay, perfect. Well, it was really a pleasure to be speaking to you yesterday in Portuguese. Adoro Português. I lived in Rio almost 8 years, and it's been such a long time that I didn't practice it. And I'm not really, I'm worried about the fact that in Argentina, I'm just starting using mLearning. And I gave a presentation 1 week ago here at the Teachers Association. And I was taking a look at the teachers that were coming into my session, and what everybody said was, well, what is M? What does M stand for? So as you can see, we're just, oh, I want me to put on the video. Here I am. Can you see me now? Okay. So that's why. So I'm going to, today, my purpose is to walk you through some of the basic things on how I am starting to integrate technology in, I work in several different places, but I love teaching, therefore I love being in the classroom, and I'm coordinating almost 300 students in a bilingual school. And what I want to show you is how I am gradually starting to integrate mLearning with all these students when there is no Wi-Fi. And this is also important. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So thank you very much for giving me the honor of being here today. It's such a pleasure to be among this enormous international crowd of teachers. So let me start by telling you that today's topic is obviously using mLearning to teach English. I am a language teacher. I teach IGCSE language. And what I try to do is try to integrate mLearning to motivate my students to practice English. Therefore, I would like to ask all of you a question. Here, this is a picture of, these are two of my school colleagues. And this picture was taken in the teacher's staff room. One of them is a math teacher, and the other one is a literature teacher. Could you please tell me which one do you think is the math teacher, the one on the right or the one on the left? What do you think? Both of them. Okay, nice one. Okay, which one do you think is the literature teacher? Let's make it easier. The one on? Okay, we've got a mixture of right, left. Okay, perfect. Well, this is something that I never thought that I was going to see this in the staff room in Argentina. The literature teacher is the one on the left. Okay. He commutes a lot every single day. And he bought a smartphone. Therefore, now he can be connected. And the math teacher is using a book. Now, if we go back to this theory of Mark Prensky, that he says some of the things of, okay, what is printed literacy? Obviously, both of them are using literacy and different kinds of literacy. So what I would like to tell you, many times we're talking about mLearning, what might become impossible suddenly becomes normal. And for Marcelo, the one that you see here using his mobile phone, okay, nowadays he can't live without his mobile phone. So imagine how his life has changed since he has started to incorporate on a personal level. I think that when we're talking about the integration of mLearning, I truly believe that we have to start personally trying to understand what this means. And I would like to share this with you. I found this comic and I thought it was quite representative of the use of technology. Here it says, honey, what's the password? Our anniversary date. She did this on purpose. You see, it's still, okay, night, and he has no idea how to enter, okay, his laptop. So the idea here, and what I want to show you, is that technology is user-friendly. As teachers, okay, I'm not interested about the tool, but I'm interested in using a tool that will facilitate learning. And this is one of the most important things that I always focus on. Which of all the m-learning tools that are available, which of all these tools is going to help me enhance my own learning purpose? Okay, so obviously that technology will always offer, okay, productive and exciting ways of learning, okay? But what I want to make clear that everything I'm going to show you today is, first of all, for free. You don't have to pay to use all these tools. And secondly, you don't have to be a tech savvy to be able to use these tools. Okay, let me continue then, okay, with this concept of what is m-learning, okay, because most people generally, they don't know what is m-learning. So here I took a picture of my students that they're planning and asking me, please, Jennifer, if you're going to give a presentation of m-learning, want every single teacher around the world to use m-learning in the classroom. But as you can see, okay, everybody, when we talk about m-learning, everybody thinks about only about mobile phones. And this is the big misconception. And here I took some pictures about other types of m-learning devices that we can bring into the classroom. The most common one will be like the mobile phones and the smartphones. Any of you here know the difference between what will be a mobile phone and a smartphone? I'm sure I know the very techie teachers, okay, in this webinar today. Any idea what will be the difference? Okay, we have different ways. It's about mobility, exactly, okay. We started off, maybe all of us nowadays, okay, we all started off having a mobile phone. But when we're talking about the smartphones, these are, okay, I always called it, just also for the students to understand, that when we're talking about smartphones, this is what Van said, you are able to add apps. And apps are different types of software that this software really can enhance our teaching. And this is really very important. And then we have different types of tablets. Okay, several ones in the market, several different brands that we can use. We can also use game consoles. How many of you have ever thought about bringing the Wii into the classroom and work with the Wii with your students? I can assure you that's going to be a class that they will never, never forget. Okay, then you can use, obviously, okay, media players, podcasting. Okay, most of our students here, okay, at least here in Argentina, most of them have an iPod. So this is something that we can really use in the classroom. And then we have these other types of devices that they are called the hybrid devices that really they don't have a specific name, but there are different types of devices that we could maybe bring into the classroom. And then here in Argentina, there is a very big movement of bringing one laptop per child. The government is really, you know, giving free laptops to the children. So this is also obviously a way of learning. So as you can see, we have several different ways in which we can bring this new way of learning into the classroom. Now let's go basically to understand what is m-learning. And I like this image where it says first step. We have to take baby steps when we're talking about the idea of integrating m-learning. And as it says here, you don't have to see the whole staircase, okay, just take the first step. And the first step, as I showed you in the, okay, the first image is a personal step. You start. I was given, I remember, an iPhone some years ago for Mother's Day, and to be honest, I had no idea not even how to turn it on. And nowadays, I'm using this in the classroom. When I graduated as a teacher, I never thought that I was going to use this type of devices. So as you can see, we have to become constant learners. And within this idea of becoming constant learners, there is something that I found that is very interesting, that nobody really talks a lot about this, that is failure. We have to be ready to fail. If we're not ready to fail, then we will never be ready to innovate and to bring, okay, something new into the classroom. So what is m-learning? M-learning are our handheld devices. You can take them from one place to the other using your hands. It's informal learning. Okay, many people tell me, well, Jennifer, they're not learning. Well, I'm going to give you today several examples, I'm sorry, where they can continue outside of the classroom. Okay, and this is so important. Okay, my classroom, I will never think anymore about a classroom focused on the four walls. Never again. Okay, then we have learning on the go, just-in-time learning. And then the difficult part, at least here in my country, is portable Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi, sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. But I found some solutions, okay, on how to deal with this idea of trying to find some Wi-Fi. So the first thing I always do is teach them, if we're going to go online, is to teach them online safety. And how do I do this? Well, the first tool that I used is, well, Garfield. Garfield, if you go to learninglabs.org, you will find this is wonderful for the iPad, for example. You can download this for free. And this is a wonderful application that you can use with your students, okay, that teaches them how to behave online. This is really very important. Because what's happening nowadays is that over the last two decades, we all know that the way we learn has changed, okay? And what has changed? We all have access to a lot of different types of information, and we can interact in a totally different way. So we have to be really very, you know, careful about this. And I've had several cases of cyberbullying at school. And another app that I found, also a free app that you can use with your students, is called Strong Kids. Now, this is not teaching them how to deal with cyberbullying. If you want to know, if you want to teach them how to work with cyberbullying, you will download this app that is learninglabs.org. But if you download Strong Kids, this one, what I found that is very interesting, is they make your students feel comfortable with themselves, okay? It's about prevention, this website, okay, and self-assertion, something that we definitely have to start teaching. And more if, in my case, I'm teaching a language. Imagine all the extra activities that we can do with these type of tools when we bring them into the classroom. So once again, my piece of advice is let's start directly with teaching them what's online safety using, for example, these two very simple apps. Oops. Wait. That's me. I did a mess. I just went to the end of the presentation. Sorry. This happens is that I was not taking a look at where I was clicking. Sorry about that. Okay. There we are. Sorry about that. So, how to work offline. So you had a preview of all the presentations. Sorry about that. How to work offline. So this is a class I had 5 years ago, and this was definitely that year was the best class I had, because let's see, how many of you can tell me what these images are? What is this? Any idea? Let's see, I'm sure some of you know, okay? Voice recorders, okay. Which one is a Walkman? I'm sure I'm the Walkman generation. How many of you iPods and Walkmans? Exactly, okay. And different kinds of iPods. Well, this is a class that I thought, okay, obviously as a teacher, we're always focused and centered into what we have to teach in the curriculum. And this class I said, okay, let's do something totally different. First, I want to teach my students, and then I'm going to teach the curriculum. And this class was amazing. Why? Because it was a class where their content was king and not my content. And this is how I planned the class. This is a wonderful class if you, for example, want to teach language and you want to go offline. This way, they told, okay, I just bought an iPhone. I have no idea how to use it. I've got an iPod. Please teach me how to use it. And it was amazing. They came up with such amazing ideas on how to use it. The first image you can see here, obviously, this is the Walkman generation. Then we have the iPod Touch, okay? Yes, the iPod Touch is used as a finger. And then we have another one that will be, okay, the Nano, the little one, the iPod Nano, the little one. And then you've got the iPod, okay, the Shuffle one, where you can watch videos as well. So therefore, they loved this idea, and it was a very nice class where they were able to take a look and review the vocabulary and also their own presentation skills, and I thought that was really very good. Another tool that I like using when I don't have access to the internet, because there's nothing more discouraging to students to tell them we're going to work with your mobile devices, and the mobile devices, for example, there's no Wi-Fi and they cannot work with it. So this is a case where I use the fake iPhoneText.com. And as you can see here it says, haven't got an iPhone in class, don't worry, use fake iPhone text in class. Allow your students to generate fake iPhone conversations based on a story you read in class. And I love this, because this is what I'm focusing on when I'm trying to teach my students this idea of m-learning. I'm focusing on language, and when I'm talking about language, it means the printed literacy, the text literacy, okay, the hyper, okay, text literacy, and as well, okay, the multimedia literacy, and obviously the code literacy, and we're going to take a look at all these different ways. So this is a very nice way of motivating your students, okay, to really, to use, okay, technology in a totally different way. And then I use this other tool that is called Translated. Let's see how many of you can read what it says here. Whatever you write in English, okay, it will automatically translate into text messages. So this is really very nice. I did this activity when they had to read Shakespeare. I think that was the only class where they're really highly motivated to read everything about Shakespeare, okay, because they never thought that they were going to be able to use, okay, text messaging to talk about, you know, Shakespeare. There is a very nice video by David Crystal that he says, oh, exactly, there you are, Graham, that he says the importance of using exactly text messaging in the classroom, and it doesn't. He exactly what David Crystal said is that the students really have to know the language very well to be able to write this way, because they have to know what they have to elicit to be able to use it. So this is a very nice way also to motivate your students to use technology if you don't have access to mobile devices in the classroom. And then I found out this app, this is a free app, well, sorry, no, it's not a free app, they gave it for me for free, that I found this in Facebook, and the importance also as a teacher to be a networked teacher. This is important because they helped me out, they knew that I was going to give a presentation on learning. And this is something that, as a language teacher, I never thought I was going to use it. I downloaded this app. You can teach first certificates. You can teach CAE. There's several different exams nowadays. There's a special offer. I think it's only $1, and you can download these. But what I found that was really nice is that you can teach them this specific exam without having to be connected. This was interesting because we work with it. And as a teacher, again, I was terrified. I have to confess it publicly. This was the first time. But first of all, the school allowed me to use this type of technology. The heads were there, other teachers were there, but I knew that this was going to work because this is my student's language, okay? And once again, I don't like as a teacher to stand in front of them as a master, you know, teacher, okay? Not at all. My idea is exactly to motivate them and for them to use, you know, in an autonomous way, different types of technology that we have available. Now, something that I found from using this in the classroom is that obviously not all my students have an iPod or an iPhone to use it. So we worked in groups, okay, and the listening part was really very, very good. They had to bring their headsets. And the really very positive side of all this is that now they have no excuses to tell me, Ms. Jennifer, I don't know where the copy is, the photocopy is, okay? So obviously everything is here, it's handheld, and they can carry it from one place to another. And now, let's go now to another tool. What is this teacher doing? Any idea? What is she doing here? What does she have in her hand? She's telling a story. Okay. I'm going to help you out a little bit. This is something that we do every single day as a teacher. This is the first thing in general that we do. Maybe she's telling a story. Okay. I'm going to show you a wonderful app that I've been introducing from kindergarten up to middle school with my students. And they loved it. Okay. She's calling the roll, Isabella. Excellent. This is something that we do all the time. But there is an app that you can use. This is not only an app, but you can also work with it online. I don't know if you ever heard about it. It's called ClassDoho. And ClassDoho, what it does here, exactly what you can see here, it makes your students alert and on task. And they love it, okay? Gisela, have you used it before with the students? Okay. Yeah, they really like it. Why? Because, yes, they really like it. I never thought that this type of, you know, tools really were going to engage my students in such a way. And what can you do with ClassDoho? You can do the following. The first thing I do, I'm lucky enough to have a very big computer screen in the classroom. So what I do is this. The first thing, as soon as they enter the computer lab, I have this online, and they can take a look. There's only one student that is in charge, okay? Randomly, the software gives an avatar to every student. Then I can tell you how you can change this, okay? And I take the attendance in less than 1 minute, okay? And this is wonderful. And the good thing about this is that later on, you can also send this to the parents. You can send this to the heads as well that are at school. And this is one of the most important parts of this tool. You can give points to your students. How important it is to give points. And you can give positive points, and you can give negative points to your students. In general, what I want is I want my students to speak in English, mainly the little ones. Imagine, you know, 5-year-olds, they have to really try to speak in English, and it's not very easy. So as you can see here on the image below, you have Celeste has a -1 because she spoke in Spanish, okay? And then Lulo, another one, he got 2 -1 because he spoke in Spanish. And the points, okay, are not lost. Every time, you know, I open again the software, the points are there. And they really have to work hard as to, okay, try, yes, to lose points and have then positive points. What I also have done with my students, and it's very nice, they can tell me, okay, which are the adjectives and adverbs that they can use, maybe with, you know, not with Kinder 5, but with, I don't know, from 4th grade onwards, which are the adjectives and adverbs that they will use in the classroom for me to give them different points. And once again, this is a free tool, so you can use it. And here, every single student, then, the software gives every single student a secret code. This is their own secret code. And with this own secret code, what they can do, they can change the avatar. And once they change the avatar, you know, if they're very young learners, but it's also very good, you can then later on work in the classroom with the avatar. You can make them describe their own, you know, class logo avatar, and then even create a whole story based on this. Okay, so imagine, this is just amazing. They love this idea, again, okay, of being able to create their own content. I thought this to be really something very amazing. And then at the end of the day, what the software gives you is then the result of how your student behaves throughout the whole class. Now, I'm doing this specifically, okay, here in the computer lab using a big screen, but it has, ClassDojo has the mobile version. So when I talk about the mobile version, this means that while my students are sitting down in the computer lab working with whatever task I assigned for that day, I downloaded this application, and with my mobile phone, I go granting all the different points to my students, and then at the end of the day, I show them, okay, how they behave. So this is definitely a tool that nowadays I cannot not use in my classroom because it is my students, the ones that keep on telling me, Miss Jennifer, don't remember, remember all the time to put ClassDojo, okay? So this is a very nice and simple tool that we could use. And then I would like to show you another tool that I've been using. You know what are QR codes, okay? QR codes, this means that you have to have a code quick response code. And in general here, what you have is a different type of matrix barcode. Nowadays in Argentina, this is becoming quite common, exactly. Yes, you just highlight it here. Okay, this is the barcode. And you can see this everywhere. So what I found that was very interesting when I introduced this class to my students was that I was not only teaching them a language, but I was teaching them something that is really happening, okay, in their own lives and everywhere. So this is how I used this tool. Really, what I wanted them to create was a QR code, okay, treasure hunt generator. To create this QR code treasure hunt generator, I use a specific software. The software that I use is called ClassTools.net. It's a really nice tool, but be careful because there's a lot of ads. Now, you can, you know, browse through this website and you will find several different games you can also create. But specifically, I wanted to do for my students to learn what was a QR code. And once again, teach them a different type of literacy that is not always the printed literacy. So this is how it works. I did this activity just before the Olympic Games, and I realized that most of my students, none of them really knew nothing about the Paralympics. So I thought, okay, let's do something. I made them work and read a lot of information about the Paralympics. After they read, okay, online, they had to create 10 different questions and answers based on the information they read online. Once they created these 10 questions, I corrected the questions, they wrote them down on a Word document, and then they copied and pasted these questions right down over here, okay, using ClassTools.net. And what ClassTools.net did automatically is this. They created a QR code, but then I had to teach my students how to use this, okay? ClassTools.net is very guided, so the good thing here is that you can go step by step understanding what you have to do. So this goes like this. I had to teach them, okay, my students, the ones that have mobile phones, okay, that they can use apps, for example, what I told them is, okay, you have to use a QR code reader. You have to download an application to be able to read the code that you generated based on the 10 questions that you created. So these are different types of QR codes, you know, readers that my students have used. Okay, for example, iEnigma is one. Okay, I like Kiowa a lot, and I made my students download that one. And automatically then this is what ClassTools.net generated. They generated the 10 different questions were suddenly turned into this code. And what I wanted my students to do really here in, at least in the school where I work, they're divided in houses and different colors. So we did a competition. I stuck this QR code readers all around the school, and I had the students trying to read this information and trying to answer, okay, the questions that the middle three students did based on the Paralympics. And this was a really nice activity, okay, because this made them get out of the classroom, walk around the school, and also learn something that really my purpose is. The purpose of this class was for them to learn about the Paralympics. And I can assure you that they will never forget, okay, what is the Paralympics, when did it take place, and who was the creator of the Paralympics, okay? Yes, okay? So, another tool that I use a lot with my students is Storybird. Storybird is a free web 2.0 tool. The first time I used Storybird with my students, what it generates is a digital story. But these digital stories, what I like about them is that they are really, really very colorful in the sense that the students can choose, as you can see from here, several different images. And all these different images have motivated my students. And how have they motivated my students? Okay, this was junior four, came into the computer lab. I taught them how to use this tool. And I realized that I was able to have the 20 computers connected using my own username and password, okay, and they didn't have to create their own. And I was also able to save, okay, all this work. So this was really interesting because until you don't try it out, you never know if it works. And then I realized, okay, there are only two different things that as a teacher you have to know. You have to know, because this is one of the questions that they kept asking me, is where to save and then how to add, okay, another panel or another page. So imagine, okay, this was amazing. And then used Storybird with my older students, and I had some students writing more than 1,000 words. Here you can see my students working in action. Okay, this was junior four. And you can see that even with the blaster, they have absolutely no problem. They continued working. And I always say, what's the role of the teacher when we introduce these type of tools into the classroom? Obviously, as a teacher, I become a facilitator. I'm out of the picture. Now, this is really important because I have to help them out. All the questions they ask were not about language, okay? They were basically, okay, how to add a new panel or a new page, and then how to save the work. So I thought as a teacher, I said, well, I have to record this. There has to be a way of recording their first experience using Storybird. And what I thought about, okay, I have to use an mLearning, you know, tool because I'm walking around the computer lab. And I thought, okay, how will I be able to record the work? And I thought about downloading this tool that is called StoryKit. And with StoryKit, it can be used as a speech tool, okay, and also as a vocabulary builder. You can also use it to provide auditory feedback, for example, for your students. And what I did is, while I was there, I took pictures, okay? I was taking pictures of how my students were working with Storybird. And then automatically, what I generated, okay, I wanted them to create a digital story, okay, a mobile digital story, explaining how was their experience using Storybird. And as you can see, what I always find with all these tools is that if you are a creative teacher, you know, the possibilities are really endless. And I think this is very important. So this is, okay, this is the way that I wrapped up this class using Storyboard. My students were able to do all this. While they were working, I took the pictures. Then I was able to record their voices, and they explained how was the first experience, how did they create their monsters. And then later on, I was able to send all this to my students, okay, using email. So imagine, they really loved this experience because they learned two different things at the same time. Not only they learned how to use Storyboard, but they also knew about another tool, a mobile tool, called, okay, StoryKit. And it was very simple. Obviously, I just chose some students to do this because I was the only one that had a mobile device in the classroom. And then, another tool that I've been using this one quite for a while, okay, with my students is VoiceThread. And we started off as webheads, okay, with this amazing and vibrant community sharing so many different tools. And I used VoiceThread for several years with my students. But this year, it was the first time that I used, you know, the app, okay, the free VoiceThread app. And this has been a change as a teacher. First grade, they are creating their own things book. And this is what I did with my students, okay? I recorded them before using VoiceThread. You know that VoiceThread is a collaborative and interactive, okay, multimedia slide where you can add images, okay, you can add documents, and you can add videos. But when I recorded my students in the computer lab, okay, I had the speaker, more than one student cried. They panicked in this idea that, okay, because this was their first experience. But when I used the app, things were totally different. Okay, and this is what I want to show you. On your left, you can see this is the VoiceThread, the Web 2.0 tool, and you click on it, you can see this online. And on your right, this is what I was recording my students' voices using my mobile phone. Now, when you use VoiceThread, they have a timer, and that timer is wonderful. Now, when I recorded them using the Web 2.0 tools, using the microphone, as I told you before, many of them cried, they panicked. But when I used my mobile phone version, they were all laughing. It was just amazing because they finished recording themselves and they loved this idea that I was not recording them in a room, in a dark room, we were somewhere else. I was really in an open area right outside of the school and I was recording them and they loved this idea. So imagine, you have to try it out really to understand the difference between working with Web 2.0 tools and then working with mobile learning itself. This is one of the last things I did with Kinder 5. I brought my iPad into the classroom. When I brought my iPad, it was amazing that I was able to see that some of my students said, oh, Miss, you brought a tablet. And I was just wondering, if I tell my mother, okay, what's a tablet? I'm sure she has no idea what it is. But then automatically I realized which were the students that had this type of technology at home and which ones didn't. So this was an amazing way of making them write their names. I downloaded an application, Linoise. But as you can see from the two pictures, in the first picture on the top, this is how happy they were when I told them that I brought a tablet to school. And then below, they were playing their favorite games. Their favorite games from the Young Learners is Friv. Okay, I'm going to write it down. This is just definitely a tool that they're all very motivated to use, okay, mainly Young Learners. And I said, okay, while they're playing their game, again, this idea of bringing, you know, the informal learning into the classroom, while they were doing this, okay, I made them write down their names. It was amazing, again, to see how all those students that they never had, they don't have access to a tablet, they were thrilled, okay, to have this idea of understanding what it is. And once again, I brought into the classroom a different type of literacy, and they were highly motivated by this. And these are all different types of Web 2.0 tools that I use with my students. When I say Web 2.0 tools, this means because obviously when we are integrating technology, the importance is to see how and where we are going to integrate it. As I told you before, as I have a very big screen, I always try to project the tool. And then, okay, this is what I have personally. Yes, I have, well, the CAE that I told you before, that one is very nice, okay? My daughters are an expert using, different types of apps. Animoto is another one that obviously you can use as a Web 2.0 tool and also as an m-learning application. Okay, Quizlet is another one. Again, because I would like to tell you which ones you can use, okay, yes, online and also with an app. And then you have Lino, that's Linoite as well. Spelling City is another one that you can also use, okay. And then you have Creator, that's another one. And then I have a very nice example using one tool that is Socrative. I don't know if you ever heard about Socrative, that what it creates, it allows your students to provide instant feedback. Exactly. Thank you, Carla, so much for putting all this. Then I have a link with everything. The problem when I use Socrative, and once again, I was innovating. What I did is I prepared a class where everybody had to bring their own devices. And it was the first time that so many students connected to the school's Wi-Fi. And it didn't work. And as I told you before, failure is definitely part of our own learning process. So what did I do? Because they were so happy that they were going to use, okay, an application for the first time. I used this with my middle school students. I even had, parents meeting, a mother that stood up, hugged me, and told me, Jennifer, this is the first time that my son is interested in something. And as a teacher, I said, okay, I have to find a solution that they have to be able to use Socrative. The Wi-Fi is not suitable. But then what I did is, I used something that is called, I used the flipped classroom theory. This means that they were able, as they all have Wi-Fi at home, and they were all able to download this app, the Socrative app, what I said, okay, we're going to work with Socrative, but you will have to work from home. You will have to read the different information I'm going to provide. And then the following class, I will be able to project, okay, everything using as I said before, I have this big television, and I will be able, okay, to evaluate if you understood or if you didn't understood, okay, and I'm teaching ICT here, if you understood how to use some specific ICT terminology, okay. So this was really a very nice class because they didn't feel the frustration that they were not able to use the app, okay. So once again, when we're talking about the integration of technology, we're definitely talking about different ways of using pedagogy. And we have to learn about different types of pedagogy. If not, we will definitely fail. Okay, and then Evernote is another one that is really very nice that you can also use, okay, freely to take notes. And then I would like to share with you some very cool tools, okay, that I've been using for you to have more and more information about different apps that you can download. I'm a huge fan of Shelley Terrell's work. I remember the first time I listened to somebody talk about mobile phones, it was Shelley. And I was thinking to myself that, well, she lives in a different world. I will never be able to apply this, you know, at school. This is impossible. And I could probably say that after, 2 years nowadays, I am able to say that I'm gradually integrating m-learning, okay, in a non-Wi-Fi school. So this is really very important. So you can download her ebook full of ideas and full of suggestions on how to effectively integrate mobile learning. And then another tool that I would like to share with you that I think is what's really interesting is called Cool Apps for Schools.wikispaces.com. They are still working on this website. They're still uploading several things, but you will find amazing tools for different learning needs that you can use with your students. And then let's recap a little bit, because I gave you so many different links and so many, okay, different tools to work with with your students. Then let's take a look at this. How many of you remember what was fake iPhone text? What were you able to do with fake iPhone text? Let's see if we remember. Let's recap a little bit. An idea to create, okay, fake iPhone conversations. Okay, then we have StoryKid. What was the purpose of using StoryKid? Yes, Carla, very good. To text without devices. And StoryKid wasn't an app, or was it a Web 2.0 tool? How were we able to use an app? Okay, very good. And then we have Storybird, that yes, it was a Web 2.0 tool that you could use. Okay. Then we had class tools, classtools.net. What were you able to create with classtools.net? Do you remember? Okay, perfect, excellent. So create QR codes. Remember, I created the treasure hunt for my students. Excellent. Translated. When we're talking about translated, okay, when we use text messaging in the classroom. Yes, Classdojo. You all, many of you remember you have been using this. Okay, perfect. Behavior management. Thank you. Vinicius. Okay, Cambridge apps. What was the advantage of using Cambridge apps in the classroom? Do you remember this? Why was I using this in the classroom? What was the advantage maybe with, for example, the tool, an app like StoryKit that I could use it? Okay. If you download the Cambridge apps, you don't need to have a Wi-Fi connection. Okay. You can work with this offline. Yes. And then you have different apps, other apps that you could use. Okay, and then I found this wonderful app that I would like to share with all of you that is called the Caipirinha app. Have you ever heard about this app before? Okay, I thought this was really interesting. If you ever travel, to Brazil, you definitely have to download this application. You have to learn how to create your own Caipirinha. Okay, yeah, this sounds to be a very interesting one. And I would like to wrap up a little bit by telling you that it's not about keeping up with the technology. It's impossible if we have to keep up with all these different apps. We can't. But I truly believe that as a teacher, what we have to keep up is with the literacies. And we have to bring into the classroom different type of literacies that we will be able to use with our students. So remember, this is also a different type of literacy, so you can download this one, okay? So I would like to wrap up to finish by saying that technology doesn't improve education, it changes it. It's us teachers, the ones who improve education. So thank you very much for joining me today. Okay, it's been really a pleasure to be here among all of you. And here are my contacts. If you want to contact me or if you have any questions, please feel free to ask me. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, if you have any questions, Carla, I think that I just finished, some minutes, before. So if you want, I can. Okay. Any questions? About some of the tools. No, whether you can use it, it's public. Everything is public. All the tools that I gave you today, they are they're all free. You don't have to pay to use them, except the Cambridge app. That's the only one. And remember that what I always try to do is I always try to use technology, to lead and to show different perspectives. I learned this thanks to the webheads. And, there's so many web heads here that I would have never been able to really integrate all this without the support of the web heads. If you can show us one of the next 20 slides. Yeah, exactly. With some of them we have, sorry, Van, so what's your question? Estela, yes, when I say offline, it means you don't have to be connected.
Mm-hmm. I turned my mic off. My question is, since there are, as a moderator, I can see that you've cut yourself off and you have 80 some odd slides. I was wondering if you could if there's just one you could show us, the most interesting of the next 20, it might be interesting. You think you can do that?
Okay, but the thing is, the next 20s are Valeria's slides. They're not my slides.
Oh, I see. Oh, sorry.
That's why they uploaded. The thing is, what I did, I pressed the wrong button. I went to the back of all of it.
Oh,
I had a glance
I
of
see.
All.
Okay. Well, never mind. But anyway, well, thank you very much for your excellent presentation.
No, thank you very much, Dan, for all your support as well, and for always motivating teachers from all around the world. Okay. So thank you very much. Okay, if there are any more questions, I'll log off. Okay, and I'll give the floor to Carla because I think it's Valeria's turn now. Please don't leave. I'm sure Valeria has a lot of tips to share with us. And well, thank you very much.
Hey, Jan. Well, thank you for your great presentation. Lots of tools and food for thought. I think that one of the main points that we need to really be attentive to when we are implementing any kind of M-learning project in our classrooms is really to think about infrastructure. This is something we struggle a lot here in Brazil as well, like Wi-Fi connection and all that. So always try beforehand and see if you can do it. And generally, we need to go offline. So in our M-learning project here in Brasilia, we tend to use apps that students can create things offline, and then we can upload things whenever we have connection. And yes, it's everything related to digital literacies, and that's why we are here today, yes, to learn more from one another and to improve our own digital literacy in so many different ways. And now,